I've got some emails because that's also a venue to get through to us. And these were sent to checkup@cbc.ca, easy email to remember, so please try to use it. Grant Harris in Smithers, British Columbia. Seems we've had a couple of our guests from British Columbia, but here is Grant's comment. Barring malevolent abuse, it is objectionable to me that the courts should have a say in how my wife and I raise our children. Fairly applied discipline provides us with a tool to teach our children right from wrong, and that there are consequences for bad behavior. It seems all too often, writes Grant, there aren't enough real consequences for bad actions in our lives. Of course, our parents probably said the same thing, and their parents too. You know, quote, he says, young people these days. Yes, every human being has or should have inalienable rights, but those rights are born of the evolution of personal interaction in our societies through tens of thousands of years. Each of us has had to be taught the difference between rights and wrongs by those who already know the difference. That's Grant Harris in Smithers, British Columbia. I've got an email from Patrick Gadora as well. And Patrick writes, does the state have a role in raising children? In a word, yes. However, I find the Senate's move to outlaw corporal punishment and the family court system generally hypocritical. Why does the state not take steps to truly protect the physical, mental, and emotional well-being of all children in ways that make a significant difference, such as guaranteeing access to dental care, adequate housing, and higher education? What about the decades-old promise to eliminate child poverty? I remember covering that story in Ottawa, and it was a unanimous decision in the House, and we certainly know where child poverty stands now in this country. Patrick, I thank you for that email. Let me just take some time to read one more from Elke in Ontario, who writes, I remember 19 years ago when my three-year-old son loved to dart away suddenly in a busy parking lot. Oh, there's a nightmare in the happening, playing hide-and-seek amongst the vehicles. Unfortunately, there was a blind spot at the corner of a building in that parking lot. All of my best efforts to explain to my son not to let go of my hand were futile. One day, I caught up to my son, grabbed him by the arm, and gave him a swat on the behind. Two women who witnessed this exchange expressed dismay that I would harm my child. I told them, as I had my son, that the swat on the bum was less damaging than what would happen when a car hit him. He writes a P.S. He is a good driver today and has never since that day darted out into traffic. Emails worth sharing with you. And I want to thank those who took the time to log on to our email address, which is checkup@cbc.ca, and send us those notes. We've got another guest now. Our next guest is the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, Dave Quist. He spoke to me earlier this afternoon from Ottawa. Hello, Dave Quist. Good to have you on the program. I want to talk about these current cases, and I want to get your take on them. I'd like to begin, sir, with the Quebec case involving the 12-year-old girl and her father. And in your opinion, the implications of the judge, in essence, forbidding the father the right to ground his child. What do you think about that?
It was startling this week to hear that news, actually. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the background legal-wise. But the very fact that a judge indicated that a father who has custody, legal custody over his daughter, 12 years of age, and was making inappropriate, in his opinion, inappropriate moves on the internet of posting pictures in what sounds like some sort of a teen dating site, and the judge overruled and said your prohibition of your daughter to be able to do that is not appropriate, I found very scary. I'm a father myself, and it seemed to me that the father's actions were very appropriate. This wasn't a case of neglect or abuse. This was a case of child protection, and the judge overruled that. And I find that akin to social engineering and find that somewhat troublesome.
Why do you say scary, though, as a parent? That's the word you used.
It is. I've used that in the past here. I think that the state has no business in the running of my family. My children are young adults now, but the idea that the state can say what I can and cannot do in the raising of my children is very scary, is very troublesome. It moves it to a nanny state, and I don't think that's appropriate. Yes, we need rules and regulations for abuse and neglect and things of that nature, but we would all agree, I think 99.9% would all agree, that most of us are good parents. We love our children and want the very best, and this judge overruled that.
We love our children even when they drive us crazy.
We do. And as parents, that's happened to us all. I don't know one parent that has said, oh, today was a rotten day. But, if you know, when it still comes down to it, we still love and want the very best for our children, both that day and into the future.
Dave, you mentioned the point of custody. Now, some would say this is a unique case in Quebec, that it's probably more accurately described as a custody battle than a child, a 12-year-old, trumping her father in court. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, at one point, and I understand that there's been a divorce in this family, that mom and dad live separately, and the daughter was in the custody of her father, which means at one point, a judge ruled that the daughter was best suited in the father's home. I don't know the details behind that. But at one point, the court said the father's home is the best place for this daughter. Now, another court in Quebec has said, but you as the father have overseen your boundaries in what seems like a reasonable manner. And what the father was doing is reasonable. What the court did, in my opinion, was unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what we've got is we've got a court that's saying what a father can and cannot do. And that has implications for all of us, regardless of whether it's a legal precedent or not. It sets the tone for other ridiculous cases. It sets the tone for other kids perhaps taking their parents to court.
Frivolously, you're saying?
Frivolously, absolutely. I mean, in those extreme cases, absolutely, the court has a role to bear there. But this was frivolous. You know, whether or not a girl could go on her grade 6 outing with her class is frivolous in the grand scheme of things. This was not a case of child pornography or abuse or neglect. This was something completely different. And so this is social engineering by a court at this time.
Dave, I want to turn your attention to another piece of news out this week, and that is the anti-spanking legislation, which passed through the Senate. And I'm wondering if you think this is legislation we need. Now, it has yet to go through the House for debate, likely in the fall, but is it legislation we need?
Absolutely not. Again, this is social engineering. I spoke before the Senate committee roughly a year ago right now, opposed to this bill. The Supreme Court in the year 2004 ruled that spanking was legal for parents to use. It was a case that has seen much publicity over the years, and even at the time in 2004, when there was so much publicity around this, that about pro-spanking and anti-spanking, that when a survey was done at that time, 57% of people indicated that they did not want to remove this. I'm sorry, 72% of parents said they don't want it to be removed, even though 57% said they would never spank their children.
There's a lot of numbers there. Just give me the meaning of the implication of those numbers.
A large number of people, regardless of whether they wanted to spank or not spank their children, said we shouldn't make it illegal to spank. In other words, it's one of the tools that parents have, amongst others, such as timeouts, restriction of benefits, you know, certain times, grounding, and things like that. Bottom line is, some parents need that tool for some of their children. It doesn't work for everybody, and each child is different, and each family is different, but don't restrict parents from using that as well.
And you're saying the court really has no place in the raising of children in our nation?
Absolutely not. As parents, we want the very best for them. The court has no obligation or no right to be imposing things upon our families and upon our children.
Maybe the court should pay for their new running shoes, et cetera, if they want to raise our kids. What do you think?
We all work hard for that. And you know, many families struggle to make ends meet. The last thing they need is the court interfering one more time.
How would you see these two cases, then, if I can wrap up with you? You know, the Quebec case, we talked about that, the anti-spanking legislation, which has yet to go before the House. If you put that into a ball, into fitting into the changing nature of Canadian values, where does that stand for you?
Well, I think we've moved from what's best for society, what's best for the family, into an age of what's best for me. And I think that's the case in this daughter's case, the 12-year-old daughter in Quebec. I think in the issue of spanking, again, we're giving rights to children or taking away rights from parents that the court has no business in doing. The legislators do not need to be going this direction. There are many other things that are important and should be supportive of families rather than taking rights away from parents.
Dave Quist, good to talk to you, and I thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure, Sahana. Thank you.
Dave Quist is Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. He was in Ottawa. Let's go back to our callers. Dal Gilbert is in Halifax. And Dal, welcome to the program. It's Sahana here. Our topic, does the state have a role in raising children? What do you think, Dal?
I think that it does have a role in raising children, but they shouldn't put that type of a law in place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that when I was a child... I'll give you an example. I just graduated school about a year ago, so they're still pretty fresh in my mind. But I used to, when I'd only do this with little girls, not little boys, but when little girls used to play with my toys, I would bite them. And I would bite them very hard.
You've grown out of that, haven't you?
It was when I was about two or three. They'd be playing with my toys, and I'd just go up and bite them, right? My teeth were coming in, right? So they'd be nice and sharp, and I'd actually bite them hard enough that they'd start bleeding.
Ouch. I don't know about that, Dal.
Obviously, I don't do it anymore, but what my parents did is they tried different things. They tried timeouts, and they tried confiscating the toys, like I couldn't play with the toy that I bit someone over.
Uh-huh.
And what finally worked was giving me a spanking.
Yeah.
So I think I did it. I bit someone, I got a spanking, and then I did it one more time, and I got a spanking, and I figured out, hey, I actually have to share my toys.
Right.
You know, I can't bite people.
So you're saying this was beneficial for you, that it stopped you biting little girls.
For sure. And there's a large generation coming up that they don't have dads. They're single mom families.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that when the boys become teenagers, their moms can't control them anymore.
Yeah.
They don't have any real boundaries because when they're younger, their moms don't impose I'm your boss, you know?
Mm.
Because a lot of people shy away from spanking, but it's very important, especially through the teen years, because I've just been in high school and a lot of the grades some of the grades are coming up into high school. There, a lot of the kids in there are very, very. I guess they're problem people because they don't have any sort of governor
or parameters.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, Dal. You're not a father yet, are you?
No.
Okay. You say that with relief. when you have kids, do you think this opinion on spanking will change? Will you spank your children?
I think that yes, I will. It also depends on how the child behaves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are five kids in my family, and some of us are we're worse than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, some of us didn't get. I mean, maybe you've gotten like one, maybe, but some of us were worse. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to be able to have that option, because I know that personally, I certainly didn't care if I got a timeout, because I learned to read at a very early age. So
you'd go up to your room and read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or else, if I got it, like, even before I could read, I can remember getting timeouts then, and I honestly would not care whether I got a timeout or not. And a lot of the time, if I got stuff confiscated, I'd just play with something else, right? But the thing that really got me is that if I did something and I shouldn't be doing it, I would get a spanking. And honestly, it stung a bit, but it stopped me from misbehaving.
Dal, I'm glad you've stopped biting girls. I'm glad you called into our program, and I wish you the best with your future endeavors, because it sounds like you have your whole life ahead of you.
Yep.
Good for you. Jessica Fraser from Saskatoon joins us, and you just heard the caller, Jessica, before you, Dal, who said he got a spanking and he was okay with that. What do you think?
I don't think it's okay to hit people.
Yeah.
I teach my children that it's not okay for them ever to strike someone, and they've never been struck by me. But I also don't think it's necessary to bring in new legislation.
So while you say you don't use spanking as a tool in your parental toolbox, you don't think it should be taken away from other parents who differ from you and want to use a spanking to discipline their children?
I'm not sure. I don't think anyone should. But I think that we already have legislation that says we can't hit other people, right?
There is legislation that prevents physical abuse to any other person and children. There is intervention for children who are beaten. But as for spanking, there is still in this country, you
right.
are allowed to use reasonable force for
right.
discipline.
But why does reasonable force include hitting?
Reasonable force could include a spanking. That's what's before the House in the
right.
fall, that they will be debating as to whether to ban spanking and corporal punishment.
I don't think that reasonable force should include spanking, and I think I do agree with taking that out
uh-huh.
of the repertoire of parents.
Right. Do you think parents who spank their children are abusing their kids?
Not all of them.
Right.
No, I don't think necessarily that. I just think there's better ways to deal with people than to hit them.
Jessica Fraser, I'm glad you took the time to talk to us here on Cross Country Checkup, and you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Dodie Scott in Strathmore, Alberta. I'd like to hear what your opinion is, because we've certainly had the gamut on the program today. Dodie?
Hello.
Hello.
I guess I just found out I'm not the only one that's calling. 18 years old I am, and I think that I was spanked as a child, and, well, what happened was one night I was on the top bunk of my bed, refused to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Came in, and he gave me a slap, and I moved as he was swinging his hand. He ended up hitting my head,
mm-hmm.
and I went to school with a black eye.
Oh.
The next day...
Oh, you know what? Dodie, it sounds like you're on a cell phone, are you?
Yes, I am.
We're sort of losing you in and out. Let's try again. Continue the story, because I got part of it where you were in the bunk. You went to school with a black eye. Can you pick it up from there?
Well, since then, I never got smacked. But I think that is, some children, that's how they need to be disciplined. Like the last guy that called there, he said, timeouts never stopped him. It mm-hmm. didn't bother him at all. I was the same way. I could sit in my room for hours and I just keep myself amused. It didn't bother me.
Mm.
But when I went to school, I could tell the other kids in school which ones how they were disciplined.
Yeah.
And I found that I'm not saying all children should be slapped, but I found that lots of them, if they got time out and it didn't bother them, they didn't have respect for, respect for authority.
And the kids who did get spanked at home?
A lot of them, depending on how bad or how they were spanked, they had a lot more respect.
So you're saying that maybe, you know, slapping a child could imbue them with respect for authority?
In a sense, yes.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard that perspective, but I want to thank you for bringing it to the fore.
Well, you look at, I'll say, children in this generation, they are getting less and less respect. I'm 18 years old. I've had a full-time job since I was 15.
Yeah.
I've got work ethics that blow people's mind because
mm-hmm.
everybody else, they're basically lazy. They were never put to work. I grew up on a farm, and I think that's the best way to raise your child because you learn life skills,
mm-hmm.
which helps you out a lot, and... There was one caller there, she said you had asked her if a police officer uses force
mm-hmm.
when they're trying to restrain somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong, too? And she said that's a completely different story. Well,
yeah.
I don't think it is. That's the exact same thing.
Force is force in your mind, no matter
yeah.
what. Dodie, I want to thank you for calling in to Cross Country Checkup, and I appreciate you taking the time.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too. In Perth, Ontario, Suzanne Woolner is there, and I'd like to hear your opinion. Suzanne, hello, it's Sue Hannah.
Hi, Sue Hannah. You're doing great.
Oh, you're a doll.
Really enjoying you. Anyway, my perspective is that in our increasing violent society, our kids need to be loved, not hit. You know, we have to take responsibility. And you know, hitting and timeouts are the easy way out. We need to increase our time with our kids and tell them how wonderful they are. And then they won't be so afraid. They will know that they are loved. And spending time with them will help the parent not feel so out of control. So I'm just you know, spanking, no way.
Yeah.
You know, they just need an increase in love, especially in light of what's going on in our society. And if you read the front page of the Golden Globe and Mail today, you know, one in five people have a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you know, why? Is that the consequence of, you know, lack of communication between parent and child, you know, with an increasing number of mental health issues? It's unfortunate that we have to legislate adults, but, you know, in our increasing violent society, you know, it looks like we need to do this.
But when you say it's unfortunate we have to legislate, are you saying it's unfortunate we have to legislate all parents, that there is no opportunity for, or there's no time when spanking is okay?
There's no time when spanking is okay, as far as I'm concerned. And I also want to just say that, you know, the people who interpret the Bible as, you know, spare the rod, spoil the
child.
I just asked them, you know, would Jesus ever hit a child? You know, I don't believe that. And so I, you know, people who just use that as carte blanche, as a tool, you know, I wish we would take the word tool out of our language and start, becoming people again. And I realize, you know, we're so out of control in society and we're so out of control inside ourselves that we try to control everything on the outside, including our kids. We need to learn how to relax.
Yeah.
And stop and slow down. And
exhale.
And make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Yeah.
Boy, that's a hard one to swallow sometimes, though, you know, that it's okay to make a mistake.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you one more thing, Suzanne. One of our guests today, Joan Durant, who is a child clinical psychologist, suggested that maybe the word, and you talked about words, maybe the word spanking is the wrong word. That maybe we should call it hitting.
Yes,
and that
totally
would change
agree.
The perception.
I totally agree.
Okay.
It is striking out at another human being, and these are human beings, you know, and they have something to teach us.
Absolutely.
About ourselves. And we as adults need to take responsibility for, you know, I remember twisting my little niece's arm into her coat because I was impatient, because I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my responsibility, and I noticed this. You know, it wasn't extreme. But I just know that it was wrong, and it was my responsibility for taking care of me because I was too tired and impatient with her.
Well, Suzanne, you're right. We have a lot to learn, and I thank you for sharing your thoughts.
I thank
anyway.
You, Suzanne.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Last call. Jamie Noah Culp, it's you from Victoria, B.C. Hello to you.
Oh, hello. You're doing such a good job.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are all, I'm going to send you that money in the mail.
You know, I can't agree more that we should love our children and that we should, you know, they teach us about ourselves, and it's all a path to discovery. I mean, who doesn't agree with that? I mean, but this relationship isn't a relationship that's equal. We should treat children as they're equitable, and we need to respect their personhood. But we're teaching them how to grow up to be productive members of society. And you cannot say that this causes that, you know, that force causes negative behavior, because there's frankly not been enough studies done, and there's so many variables and there's so many different contexts that to say this causes that and to criminalize parents for trying to do the best they can is just not an intelligent decision.
You know what I like? I like the fact that you say we got to love our kids.
Oh, I'm gonna, of course we do. I wanna say that.
I love you for calling, and thank you so much. Yeah. We're out of time. Jamie, it's great to have you on the program.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
That's Jamie Dole Culp from Victoria, B.C. Well, that is it for this week. I want to thank everyone who called in today. I want to thank you for your patience with me as a first-time host. You were great to me. This is the time we give a cross-country checkup T-shirt to or a tote bag to a caller who did not get on the air, and today's winner is Dalt McCambly from Red Deer, Alberta. Dalt, good for you. You can reach us by mail, Cross Country Checkup, CBC Radio, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. I remember that as make five wieners, I'll eat six. Our email is checkup@cbc.ca. Tuesday, by the way, on CBC Television's The National, take a road trip for an in-depth report on a booming prairie province. Saskatchewan's economy has a double-digit growth and record revenues in everything from wheat and potash and oil, as you know. So join host Peter Mansbridge Tuesday night on The National. I want to thank everyone who helped out this week and were patient with me as well. Barb Dickey is our technician. Ron Bach, Renee Smith, and Chris Mantrop took your calls. Katera Zapacosta looked after the email. Cross Country Checkup is produced by Charles Shanks and Annalisa Cosma. I'm Suhanna Marchand. I'll be back on television on CBC News Today tomorrow. Do you get it? You take care.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.